We serve an awesome God, a wonderful counselor. We thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We give you permission to canvass this service and your people. Thank you, Lord God, that we will leave here full and fully persuaded that you are God, and besides you, there is no other. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we come to honor you. Lord, we repent for anything we said, done, or did. We even repent for the thoughts that we are having even now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for cleaning us up, purifying our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Y'all turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. God bless the Zoom digital disciples. God bless you. Amen. Those of you who are visiting with us for the first time, we welcome you. Those who have been with us already, well, God bless you already. You already know what to expect. I hope you had an awesome Thanksgiving with celebrating with your family and friends. Let me turn your attention. Let me just start off this way. I'm going to read from a couple of different versions because I know everybody don't have the same translations, but I'm going to read with me to the, let's turn to the NIV. And then I may go over to the New King James second and maybe the Amplified third. Not quite sure in this order, but if those of you who have the NIV version and the Matthew chapter 5, which is the first gospel in the New Testament, let us read together if we're able to in the NIV version. Let us start reading from the first verse. Ready? Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them. Verse 3. All right, stop right there. For those of you who got the New King James Version, let's start off with the first verse again. I'll give you some time to get there. Ready? Let's go. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Let us turn to the Amplified version. Let's start off with the first verse. You ready? Let's go. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy, to be admired, of poor in spirit, those who are devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for there is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever." Come on, let's give God some praise. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Y'all can take your seats. And if you choose to. This is really good news. Starting off in the first gospel of Matthew. This Beatitudes was a message that comes to kind of get overlooked quite often. It's read, but very rarely understood. We read it, but it's not quite understood. It's what Jesus was really trying to imply, to give us some sort of insight behind the curtain on what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, there's many different books that the kingdom of heaven was translated or began to he was trying to explain it in different terminologies, just like when he said the kingdom of heaven is like a far country when he left all of his goods to his servants. But in this particular chapter, Matthew, which is called the Beatitudes, he was on the mountaintop. Now, I want to kind of give your attention, because he started off with the third verse. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The last chapter that I recall, when blessed was introduced, was Psalms 1:1. It said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners. And then it says, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But he started off saying, blessed. Another word for blessed means happy. We read in the Amplified Version that it means to be prosperous and to be happy. So in King James Version, he starts off, which is kind of bizarre, that he equated blessed with poverty. There's really not much of a correlation here with having someone blessed and poverty doesn't really match. But he didn't stop there. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And he said, for there's the kingdom of what? Heaven. So he's equating blessed, and then he furthermore discussed poor or poverty or being impoverished. So in other words, he's telling us poverty is a spirit. He said there's a spirit behind poverty. But what he's telling the people who was listening to him, for there's the kingdom of heaven. You can't talk about a kingdom unless you're a king or if you have some association with a kingdom is like. What he was doing, he was introducing us to a different culture than what they've never heard. They've never heard anything about the kingdom of God ever. Now, if you go back for the last chapter, it talks about the kingdom of God is at hand. Which means he was saying the kingdom of God is near, or the kingdom of God is right now. Over in Matthew chapter 3, the first person who ever mentioned the kingdom was John the Baptist. He says, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Oh, man, God Almighty. And so before we kind of go any further on about poverty and blessed and spirituality, we have to repent because the kingdom is near. Not at hand, but it's near for those who don't understand it. And what I want to say to you is that the kingdom is not a far-fetched location. The kingdom of God is right in you. Bless all the poor in spirit. Bless all the poor, the impoverished in spirit. In other words, he says, now I know another translation or another text. He says, the poor you would always have with you. But he wanted to differentiate that we don't always have to live poor. Just because the poor is always with you, that doesn't mean you need. Oh, man, look. He says, bless are the poor in spirit. In other words, he's saying pretty much you guys are lifeless. But he's also given us a solution that it's the kingdom of heaven that will fulfill your lack thereof. Man, oh man, oh man. Okay, let me go back over here again because I'm going to take my time because I want to make sure that you're getting empowered. Blessed are what? Let's read this together in NIV version here. Let's go to verse 3 here. What does it say? Bless who? Bless who? The poor in spirit. Now, there's some cases. Now, this wasn't just a natural form. He's saying that we're spiritually bankrupt.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I want to turn back over here. This is interesting. Matter of fact, let me kind of go back on the first verse because there's something that was highlighted for me this morning. Let me start off with the first verse, the NIV version. Those of you got it, you just kind of continue to read it. What it says here in the first verse, it says when what?
Jesus.
When he saw the what?
Christ.
He saw the what?
Christ.
And what did he do afterwards?
He went up on the mountain.
And he did what?
Sat down.
And he did what?
Sat down.
And then what happened? And what did he do?
Okay,
so here's what I want you to understand, that you all know, we'll probably get to the text in a moment. Do you understand that Jesus gave up his wealth for poverty, that we may become what? Rich. Now, hold on now. There's something that we must understand, because I just read that text. It's very key here, because he says he went to the mountaintop after he saw who? Oh, man, God. What? After he saw who? He went to the mountaintops after he saw who? Okay, what did he do? Look, this is very important here. He what? Another word for what he's pretty much saying, he humbled himself. My God. In other words, what tends to happen is, for someone who got it going on, who's already fulfilled, if I'm talking, he wasn't talking at him, he's talking with him. And so what he do, he sat down. In other words, he's saying, I'm not above you, I'm with you. In other words, he wasn't looking over your shoulder. In other words, he wasn't looking down at them, because he was sitting amongst them. He could have stood up, but he sat among them, which means it was an intimate setting. In other words, if you're sitting down with other people, that's a form of what? Breaking bread. Let's go back to 4th chapter 4. Let's look at the end here. It was something else that was real key, that was so interesting to me. Let's go to the 20th verse, NIV version. Let's read this together. Y'all going to help me minister this. Y'all not going to use all my strength and not use yours. Look at what it said here. Let's read this.
At once.
Let's go to 4 and 20, 23, the last verse in Matthew, NIV version. Ready? Let's go. Jesus went throughout Galilee. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Teaching in where?
Synagogue.
Doing what?
Proclaiming the good news.
Of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Of the what?
Kingdom.
Wait. What was he doing?
Proclaiming the good news.
Of what?
Of the kingdom.
And then what he did?
Healed.
You notice it wasn't just me preaching and teaching. It was demonstration. Because oftentimes, people have a tendency of, in other words, let me say it this way. People don't believe until they see something. So he's saying the kingdom is not just good news. The good news is that you were broken and now I'm here to heal you. Let's read verse 23 together again. Jesus went throughout where?
Galilee.
Teaching where?
Synagogue.
Proclaiming what?
The good news.
Of what? Didn't we just read about the poor in spirit? Mm-hmm. Blessed is who? Are the poor in spirit, for theirs what? Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Guys, come on now. Listen, look, all right, let's start this over. Let me make sure that y'all understand here. Okay, let's go back to verse 3. What did it say here in verse 3? Chapter 5, verse 3.
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
And there's what?
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, let's spin it back down to 4:23, Matthew. Spin it back one chapter before. What it said? Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their what?
Synagogue.
Proclaiming what?
The good news.
Of the what?
Kingdom.
And what did the demonstration show?
Kingdom.
Healing every disease.
Yep.
And sickness among what?
The people.
Now, let's finish reading. Verse 24.
News about spread.
Over where? Syria. And all the people brought to him all that were what? Ill and various disease. Mm-hmm. Come on, let's keep reading. Those suffering what will?
Severe
pain, demon possessed, having what? Seizures. And what?
Paralyzed.
And he do what?
Healed them.
Now, let's finish up. Large crowds from where?
Galilee.
Who was it? Large what?
Crowds.
And from where?
Galilee.
Keep on going.
Decapolis,
Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions across the Jordan that followed him. It's just a continuation. Now what it says, now when Jesus saw what? He saw the what? The same crowd that he was healing is the same crowd who followed him. Okay, look, I think y'all kind of getting a look. Think about this now. He's in a synagogue. He's going through all of the regions ministering and preaching, and he's healing all manner of diseases, right?
Yes.
But if you notice, if you broken and you got ailments going on in your body and you sick, how in the world are you going to get to the mountaintop? Nobody who's paralyzed can walk. So how is these crowds getting to the mountaintop? The only way they was able to get there is because he did what? In the Matthew chapter 4, it tells us, so he's inviting them, he saw them, he's inviting them without telling them. What he was showing us is I'm seeing it this way. I'm not going to ever tell you to do something that you're not capable of doing. Furthermore, God won't ever inquire you to do something that you can't. That's inhumane for telling someone who is in a wheelchair, let's walk. I have to do some sort of demonstration in order to get you up out of your comfort zone. So he healed them. He delivered them. He set them free and he cast out their spirits. But after he got done, it was a continuation from Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 through 25 over to Matthew chapter 5, going into 1. He went up to the mountaintop. They could not get up there if he had not done Matthew chapter 4 through 23 to 25. The Matthew of the Beatitudes is overlooked so much that people think it was just words alone. His words was demonstration. Jesus, man. Oh, okay. All right. Let me go and keep reading here. Let's keep reading here. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, this is the same crowd. He just did what he did over in Matthew. He went up on a mountainside. And he sat down. So he took them high, but then he leveled the playing field by sitting among them. Look at the humility in this. You know what? Let me turn to another chapter here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read at the end in New King James Version on this verse. Let us start off with the first five. Those of you who have the New King James Version, let's start off with verse 5. Let us read verse 5 and then let us read verse 6 together. And I'm going to move over to the New King, the NIV, so people can understand what it's saying from that translation. Let us start. Let's go. Let this mind be in who? Which is also in who? Being what? Being in the form of God, did not what? To be who?
Equal with God.
But what did he do?
No,
taking the form of a bondservant and becoming the likeness of men. Let me go somewhere else here. Let's read a different translation. Let us go to the NIV. Let's read verse 6 in the NIV. Well, let us start off with 5, kind of work our way in. In your relationship with one another, having the same mindset as who? Who being well?
Very nature of God.
Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Notice this. But rather he did what? He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient. In other words, I want to get to that part. Let us go over to the Amplified. Let's read verse 6. Who, although he existed in the form of an unchanging essence of God, as one with him, possessing the fullness of all those divine attributes, the entire nature of his deity, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess it, or was afraid of losing it, but emptied himself, without renouncing or diminishing his deity. God Almighty. That's good enough here. I'm going back to the Matthew. So he was trying to, first he tells the people, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near, which means he's already here. He's on site. He's already arrived. The kingdom of God was never mentioned in the Old Testament. It was introduced to us in Matthew chapter 3 when John the Baptist was baptizing folks, and he kept telling them, he says, before you got baptized, you must repent. That's all we knew. And then Jesus later in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 4, then he goes, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The next thing we hear about the kingdom is now when he sent them on the Beatitudes and he tell them, bless all the poor in spirit. For there is the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of God is at hand, or kingdom of heaven is here. For there is the kingdom. In other words, he says you could possess the kingdom right now. Yes. Yes. He's introducing the poverty or the impoverished, the richness. How he know that is because he made an exchange. He gave up his wealth for their poverty so that we through him might become rich. Let me read this again. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went on the mountain. You have to understand one thing that we don't know is that the difference between any other religion, it was full of words. What separated Jesus from all the rest was he was demonstration. He wasn't just word alone. He showed you what the word looked like. If you talking to me about healing, then I should be able to experience healing on the dot or on the spot. But he's trying to do his best with letting you know that the kingdom of heaven, he's introducing us. So he says we can trade in a poverty mindset for his rich mentality. This is what was happening here, because these people he was talking to wasn't the elite. These people he was talking to wasn't the rich. But these people were already broken. There were people who was rich, but they was teaching the word, but they was telling you couldn't be healed on the Sabbath. You remember those times? So they were already broken. They were already perplexed. They was already confused. They didn't have really much to really go on. And here Jesus is introducing a culture that's never been introduced before, telling them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, there was 8 phrases here, but we're not going to go into the rest. He introduced the Beatitudes with the poverty, with blessed in the kingdom. You can't have a kingdom without a king. He was a king because he gave up his kingdom through him that we could become the children of heir and joint heir with him. So he gave up something as an exchange. He gave up his life, but through him that we don't have to be impoverished any longer. We don't have to be broken. And so when Jesus saw the crowds, these were different types of people. You had all types of people from different religions and different regions. And so if you notice, there was no Pharisees, because he wasn't talking to them. Because anytime, see, most people, what they think, that they got to offer the kingdom something. No, God says, come empty so I can offer you something. In other words, the kingdom don't need your poverty. He just needs you to recognize that you need something, that you're broken, so he can fulfill you through him. But if you come to the kingdom, if you come to the church like you got it going on, then he can't give you anything. This is the difference. I don't know if you remember with the rich ruler, and he says, Lord, Master, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? What did he do? And if you notice that the rich ruler, he was telling Jesus all what he'd done, his good works. Jesus wasn't concerned with his good works like we do. We're not saved through good works. And so Jesus says, you know, he gave him some of the Matthew, Exodus chapter 20. He gave him some of the commandments, and the man kept telling him, I do this and I do that and I do this. He said, yeah, but there's one thing you do lack. He says, why don't you go ahead and sell your riches and give it to who? The poor. Because the mindset that he already had, he didn't have. When you talk about inheritance, he understood that term because that's what he knew about. Inheritance meaning something that's being left behind according to the person's will or what they have for you. It is not God's will for us to be broke. Oh, I'm sorry. It is not God. How can a kingdom on earth be prosperous if we ain't got no money? But money is not everything, because he also tells them, remember in 1 John, let's turn to John, 1 John 3 and 1. Let's turn to 1 John 3 and 1. I'm going to go there. I think that's where it is. Let me find it. Hold on a second here. Actually, it's 3 John. Yeah, 3 John and 1. Okay. All right, I was right. Okay, I think I want to read from the New King James Version. Okay, let us read from the New King James Version first, and then we're going to enter in the NIV. You ready? The elder. Read the new 3 and 1, correct? Hold on a second. Okay, let's read it. The elder. First verse. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you what? Come on. Some people ain't ready. It's John 3 and 1. I'm going to give you some time to get there. Towards the end, right before Jude. 1 John 3 and 1. Not the Gospel of John. 3 John 3 and 1. Thank you. 3 John 3 and 1. There we go. Towards the end. There you go. There you go. Keep flipping there. Keep going to the end. Keep going. Keep going. It's right before Jude. 3 John 3 and 1. Let's start this off again. Y'all ready? Okay, let's read the New King James Version first. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may what?
Prosper.
And what? And what?
And be in health.
Just what?
As your soul prosper.
So there you go, right there. He's telling us that's the way we ought to be. He's telling us that he would that we all prosper as our soul. Notice that we can't leave that part out. Here's what the thing was with the rich man, what he was lacking. He was lacking in soul prosperity. He had all the natural, but here's the thing. Oftentimes, that most times when people have richness, they trust in their richness and not in the kingdom that provided the richness. So here's the difference is some people who's rich in their mind, they got everything they need. For a person who's lacking, they know and they recognize they don't have everything they need. Here's the difference between the two. They already got their reward. God's saying, with the kingdom is near, that is at hand, that you can receive the reward now and later. John chapter 10, verse 10. I came that you may have what? Life and have it what? More abundantly. Man, come on, man. Y'all. Let me go back to Matthew here. In other words, Jesus is telling us it's not far-fetched. It's not so far off. It's not a distance. It's attainable. He had just finished. Anybody ever received miracles before? If you receive some sort of healing in your body, some sort of miracles, some sort of... If you was in a state of mind that you were in prior to coming to Christ, pre, and then he did something for you, you already seen the kingdom. He already introduced the kingdom to you by showing you what he's capable of doing. In other words, he's telling you the kingdom of heaven is not broke. It has a lot to offer. It's just that he's saying to us, in order for us to gain access to it, we have to go through him. Because you can't get, what did he say? In order for you to get to the Father, you got to come by what? Me. He didn't count it equal. He was equal with God. So we already know the kingdom wasn't near. It was already there. He's introducing them, the kingdom. The kingdom was the person. Oh, God almighty, man. Oh, okay, let me go ahead and keep reading this here. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, I think the multitudes wasn't satisfied with just getting healed. Because if you get healed, most of the times when we get healed, we are going to go about our business. We good. We don't need nothing else. But they followed him, which means it's an indication they realized they was really starving. Spirituality. They realized they was already bankrupt. So they followed him. And look what they had to do. They put in some work because you have to climb to the mountaintop. God almighty. You have to have some sort of energy or some sort of completion in order for you to get you up there. The Bible didn't say they was wheeled up there. Nobody rolled them up there in some wheelchair or helped them get. They were able to go on their own because he already showed them what the kingdom of God was like. Man, oh God almighty. He seen the multitudes. He went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, thank God he wasn't overlooking anybody. Thank God that he didn't think he was better than anybody. He sat among them. He didn't count it robbery. He was equal. He traded in his kingdom citizen for this earthly citizen. Through him that we may have, what, eternal. Not just eternal life. Because some people says, well, that's all I have. God says, all right, I can give you the kingdom right now. What did he tell Peter? He says, I have given you what? The keys to the kingdom. In other words, I'm giving you access. You have access with the keys I'm giving you. And then the next thing he says, whatever you what? Loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. He didn't stop there though. He says, whatever you bind as well. He's given us the keys to the kingdom and telling us we don't have to be impoverished in the spirit any longer. You know why some of these people here, that they were already broken in the natural, they didn't understand what their purpose was because they was broken spiritually. He says in verse John 3:1, I would that you prosper as your soul prosper simultaneously and then be in health. God did not want just having one part whole and the rest broken. The synagogues, the Jews, the Pharisees, they had all the outer appearance. They were good. But spiritually, they were bankrupt. They just didn't know it. Because they were already blinded by what they had, by religious pedigree and status quo. So he took the rest aside. He says, that's before the church was birthed, he was teaching them about the kingdom first. Don't talk about the church first. Let's talk about the kingdom. And so what happens is today we are introducing more church and more names and associated with the church. But let's introduce what the kingdom has to offer. When you and I get whole with the kingdom is like, it changed your perspective on what he wants us to look like and what he wants us to be. Do you know you and I are royalty? A chosen people, a peculiar generation, set forth by what? Him. Let me find something here. I'm looking for this. Hold on. Give me 1 second here. I'm looking for this. I think it's the 2 Corinthians. It's your number. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to read from the New King James Version. I'll give you some time to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. I'm going to start off with 8 and then lead over to 9. I speak not by commandment, but I am testifying, I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Let's read verse 9 together here. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was what?
Rich.
Yet for what? He became what?
Poor.
That through what?
Poverty.
That you what? There you go right there. Let's read. Let us hit the NIV version. For those of you who have that, y'all feel left out. I sense you. Let's read verse 9 together on the NIV translation. Ready? Let's go. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was what?
Rich.
Yet for the sake he became what?
Poor.
So that through his what?
Poor.
That we what?
Rich.
There you go right there. So we understand what he gave up. He didn't just give his life up that we, recognizing that we were sinners. First, we need to repent, for the kingdom of God is real. But then after that, he says, now, once you take your royal rights, don't just repent and give your life to Jesus. It's more to it. In other words, he says, you and I are living beneath our privileges. And the reason why we are taught to give our life to Jesus, we are knowing, understanding that we are a sinners who need to repent and turn their life away. But we can't stop there. He's telling us, you no longer need to be a foster child. You need to be an heir. You are heir, you and I are heir, and we are joint heir with God through Christ Jesus. We already are royalty. We are already a priestly people, a chosen people, a peculiar people. He already set us apart. But look who he took. He took the ones that was less fortunate. They thought that he was coming to overthrow Rome and come with this mindset. No, he came to introduce the kingdom, to give us a culture that we didn't ever have. He wanted us to possess some things that we, but he says, first, let this mind be in you. You notice he said, let this mind, you can't do it with if you got your carnal mindset. You and I think riches is affiliated with homes and mansions and cars and all those type of things. That is not real riches. That's the added blessing. Because the first, what he said in 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom. And then all of his righteousness right behind that. Then the rest says, I'll add these other things to you. I like this verse here. Let's see here. I'm going to read this verse again. This is Paul. He says, I speak not by a commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. This is what Jesus did. He was sincere by who in the world is going to give up their royal background to become impoverished? You got it going on. You don't even need to touch this. But he decided that it was no other way. There was no other alternative. So he had to come in this form. He had to come in a form of a man and to humble himself and kind of not equal with God. So he had to give us like, so we looking at the cross is just one thing that we could be forgiven and we could go to heaven. You keep looking for that or you get ready. Those religious folks, he says, for the kingdom of the God is right now. Why would he just tell us that we could just be rich in faith but not be rich in prosperity and health? You mean to tell me he's going to go through all of that torture just for one part and the rest broken? He decided that we needed to be a total package. We needed to be like him, right on earth. Oh, man, oh, man. For I know, he says, I speak not a commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. That's what he did. For you know the grace. I'm reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was rich, was. Yet for your sakes, I'm going to say my sakes. Instead of, no, make it personal. Look, say for my sake. Let me hear you say. Say it for my sake. Because if you say it for others, then you're still not looking at what you need to do. Yet for the grace of God, I'm going to read this again. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was rich. Yet for my sakes, I'm changing it. For my, I'm making it personal. Are you scared to make it personal? Because if I keep focusing on others, then I'm not going to ever see me. Like, in other words, I'm saying, really, you deserve it, but I don't. Others. That is one of the times you need to be unselfish. Or rather, selfish. This is one of the times, because already verse 8, he says, I don't speak by commandment. This is Paul. I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. But don't stay right there. He already did it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was rich, yet for my sake, he became poor. He became impoverished. That through his poverty, through his poverty might become rich. Y'all know where he was born, right? In a manger. God Almighty, that wasn't no five-star hotel. He was near the barns. That is the lowest you can, that's poverty stricken. He only came that route so we could become, so in other words, he says, I will exhort those who humble themselves. And those that already exalted, I will make them a base. I didn't come for the rich, but I came through those who are already impoverished that they might become rich. So in other words, no, none of us are supposed to be broke. That's it. I'm not saying that he says you're going to always have the poor with you, but not these people here. If you listening to this word, you ain't supposed to be broke. You ain't supposed to be impoverished. But until we get there, we need to change the mindset that you trying to get rich without him. You can't become wealthy. No, because here's the thing. Some people going to get there without him because they think they already got their reward. But because you and I are chosen, this is the way that he's chosen for us to get there. In other words, he says they got their reward. They already got it. That's their reward. You understand what I'm saying? They already got their reward. We ain't got it quite yet. We're learning to get there. And then it won't stop there because he's given abundant life and more abundantly. Are y'all picking up what I'm saying? Let me say. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was, but guess what now? He went back to the Father, so he's rich again. He only became bankrupt so we could become wealthy. But then what he did, he got his riches back again because he's sitting at the right side of the Father. He gave us an inheritance that we're not supposed to live beneath our privileges. He told us in Matthew, "Blessed if you poor in any kind of way." He equated blessed with poverty, with king and kingdom. We ain't supposed to be broke. And these people, look, you know, sometimes when you don't have all the financial solutions or resources, that's what happens when you start getting sick. They didn't have what they needed to have. That's why they were broken up. Wasn't like they was born with sickness. Some things started taking place over the course of their life, just like some of us. So he healed them. They didn't have to go and see a particular doctor. He delivered them. He spoke whole over them. And so therefore, now that they're whole, now they can start to go around. Because look what happens is, if the Lord used me to heal you, now you are a light on what the kingdom of God looks like. Because remember, people remember when you was bound. But when after Jesus encounters you, you're not going to look the same any longer. Because here's the thing. They're not going to just imagine. Here's what people do. People not going to listen to you when you still roll doing the same thing. They have to see evidence. They have to see some type of change. What? Not just while your behaviors, that helps. Then depending on where your background came from, that does help. But when they see something phenomenal that they know that wasn't you, you got to be a God. Then they will come serve him based on what God done through you. Can I say it this way? Let me say it this way. Is it possible that the same way he did Jesus, he let him become impoverished so we become rich? Is it possible that he's letting you become impoverished so others can begin become what? Rich? Oh, In other words, he tells us, and often we are a living epistle. We are read by all men. Sometimes our sacrifice is to help someone else. It's not about you and I. In other words, God says, I'm not going to keep the rewards from you, but I have to let you go through this, this, and this so people can see this, this, and this. But when I get done with you, then they're going to see that, and they're going to come to me through that. In other words, you preaching all day long, they're not hearing your preaching because they don't see no demonstration. They have to damn near see you that you were oust with no hope. All the shame in the world. And in order for them to hear you, they got to see something on you. Because a lot of people got talk. You got all the religious, they got talk, talk, talk. They'll give you all a fiery speech. But the only thing about why, I'm going to tell you, Marilyn Hickey, I remember I got an opportunity to be under her tutelage for a little bit. Marilyn Hickey, she said, you know, I go to the Muslim country. She said, the only reason why the Muslims believe Jesus is because they see demonstration. Because she had an anointing to heal people. And so they weren't trying to hear what she had to say, but they saw the works. In other words, you and I, we can't just be talking. We got to walk it. And we got to show forth his glory. The gospel is not hid. Let me turn to 2 Corinthians. There's a chapter in there. Let me turn it. I think it's in the fourth chapter. Let me find it. Okay, I think I found it, but I don't know if this translation is going to suit what I need, but let me see. Let us read, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, let us read, is it 3 or 4? Yeah, 3, let's hit 3. 4 and 3. What translations you most of you have in? NIV? What do you have? New King? Okay, great. Okay, let us read this together. Verse 3, what it says? Wait, hold on now. Let's sing together. Verse 3, but even if our gospel is what? And some of y'all got hit. It is veiled to those who are what? Whose minds the God of this age has what? Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? See, that's my point right there. You and I have to have some evidence for people to start listening to you. Talk is cheap. Because what happens is when we say God is good, people are going to say, well, where is he good in your life? What is he doing in your life to show me he's good? Because people need to see things. Everybody don't have the type of faith you and I have, so they have to see things. I'm going to tell you something truthfully. Some of the things that we have now, we don't deserve it, but God did it so that way people can believe through your life. Don't ever think that because you are in a certain status quo in life today that you deserved it. If it wasn't for his goodness, that's why he, because they're not listening to you, SG. The only way they're going to listen to you, they got to see something on your life. If you and I live in the same way, saying the same thing, and there's no evidence, they're not going to be bothered with your God. So Jesus had to exchange all of that so we can be all of this. That through his life, that we could become, we don't have to be impoverished any longer. That we could be all right, we could take our rightful place again. The reason why he had to do that, we already know the beginning, Genesis, and what they gave up their wealth. They gave up their most trusted thing. They exchanged it for something temporal. So Jesus had to come back and restore the kingdom back to us, that we can have the keys to success. That we don't no longer have to associate ourselves. Yeah, okay, I'm a little broke now. You don't have to stay that way. Because once you get this word on the inside of you, it's let this mind be in you, not the other person. Don't take it personal. Let this mind be in me. That's also in who? Christ Jesus. And the same mind that he has, that's the same mind we need to be walking with. Anytime you and I think outside of the kingdom or the mind of Christ, we're not living up to our kingdom standards. He told the crowd, blessed are those who are impoverished, bankrupt in the spirit. Pauper, that's another word for poor, poverty. Bless all those. He associated the blessings and it was in the middle. It was sandwiched together. Bless, poverty, and kingdom. God Almighty. In other words, you start off blessed and you ended up with the kingdom. In between, you are poor and soul prosperity, but he said we don't have to stay that way. He sandwiched it together. He started off with blessed and he ended up with the kingdom of God. For there is the kingdom. The kingdom is not far away. It's not far-fetched. It's right now. We have to understand that he's introducing us to a country that we don't have. We got citizens. We got rights to it. It's not. The kingdom of God is in you. Why do you say that? Didn't you give your life to Christ? Didn't you give your life to Jesus? I don't know. Maybe you did. Did you believe what you did? Did you believe the confession you made? You know what, though? This is one thing about other oaths and other religions and certain secret societies that we take. You notice with the confessions, certain things start happening to you? Those confessions work, obviously. You decreed something. Something took place, and you start seeing the manifestation. The devil works don't hide either. So what makes you think whatever you confessed in Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, what makes you think he's going to hide his glory? How is it that we have the confessions and we speak all of death and negativity and it happens? As a man think of what, so is he. So every time we say certain things that's not associated with the kingdom, it's just going to happen because that's just what it is. But when we start speaking certain things that's associated with the kingdom and his king, do you know there's kingship on the inside of you and I? Kingship. You got to understand, God don't make anything less than his best. We don't need to continue to keep having this woe is me when Jesus already gave his life and he already told us, bless all those. If you got any type of impoverished in your spirit right now, I'm telling you now, the good news is the kingdom. And the kingdom has benefits. Jesus. You know what, then? Let's turn to Psalm 68. Y'all messing with me now. Scripture's just popping up in my head right now. It's something in Psalm 68. Maybe this will bless you. I think people still have a hard time believing. They just stopped at the cross where you first saw the light. It's more to the light than the cross. God Almighty. Oh, where I first saw the light. That's just a song. Yeah. But that's all you're going to stop right there? When you first saw the light, there's more light to us, baby girl. You and I just need to continue to go through what he already went through. He already went through what he went through, man. At the cross, where I first saw my light. Those are hymns. That's not kingdom talking no more, man. Jesus. Okay, let us read here. Psalm 68. I hope you got there by now. I'm just a verse that I. No. That's not it. I think it's Psalms 103. Hold on. Let me get there. Let Pastor work the word. Give me a second here. Okay, this is it right here. Psalms 103. Let me see what version I want to read. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me read NIV. Let's read together here. Psalms 103. Y'all there? Okay. Let's read there. What time we got? Okay. We got a little time. Here. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my innermost being. I'm just hearing myself. Praise his holy what? Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not what? And guess what else he did? Who forgive what? All your what? And what else he did? Heal all your diseases. And what else he do?
Redeem your life from the pit.
And what else he do? Crown you with
love and compassion.
And what else?
And satisfies your desires.
With good things. So that your youth is renewed like what?
The eagle.
Oh, man. I ain't going to the peasants. Don't worry. Let me read the New King James Version. This is what he did. Look at this now. We focusing on the cross and on the light. This was done before Jesus got to the cross. God, you're not listening to what I'm saying. He already gave us what we need. The cross was to solidify everything he did already. Can I give you another little secret about the kingdom? Everything we saw Jesus go through in 2,000 years, it was already done in the spirit world first. It's just that it happened in real time. At the time, he went through it. He already went. Can I say it this way? I know I'm gonna mess with a lot of people's theology just for a moment. As soon as Adam and Eve committed those crimes, in real spiritual time, Jesus already did what he did. See, y'all behind the eight ball. You waited till 2,000 years and then, no, it was already done in the spirit realm. Because what? Tell me, help me out here. Does the spirit have time? I don't have time, do you? No, I'm just playing. No, does the spirit have any time? Not at all. It doesn't equate with time. So he already did it. Now, let me go to Psalms. Let me go to the New King James Version. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his what? Holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? And who forgives what? And who does what? Who heals what? Why don't you make it personal? You tell me yours. But how about mine? Look, okay, let me say it this way. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You started off good, but why you went off to the other? See, translations, it makes a difference. Bless the Lord, O my what? O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgive what? All my iniquities. Who heal what? All my diseases. And who what? Redeems my life from destruction. Who crowns me. And how are you going to crown somebody when you're not a king? How? I can't give you something I don't possess. I can't give you something that don't belong to me. The only way I can crown you, unless I'm already wearing a crown. He didn't even go to the cross yet. This is the Psalms of 103. Then he says here, who satisfy your mouth with good things, so that your youth, my youth, your youth is renewed like what? Eagles. I like this next one here too. The Lord execute righteousness and justice for all who are what? All those people who was in the crowd on that mountain, but they were oppressed. They were broken. All Jesus, everything you are doing now, you just seen it in real time. Everything that was already is already done in your mother's womb. In the spirit form. Everything you're doing now, you just catching up what was already spoken. In other words, what he's saying is that, what are you saying, Pastor? Everything that we need, it's already done. God ain't coming up with nothing new. It's already done. He's just waiting for us to discover it through the kingdom islands. I'm not looking at just the church. I'm looking at from the kingdom perspective. That's the difference that separates most folk, church folks from kingdom-minded people. Church folk just want the house and the car. That's all they want. They good with that. No, I want above all things that my soul prosper and be in good health. I would that you prosper as your soul. You won't be spiritually bankrupt, but you're rich. As your soul prosper and be in good health. So God says, I want you to have it mind, body, and soul. Let me read it from a different translation. Did I read from the NIV? Mm-hmm. Let's go to Amplified. I'm a milk all of this. Let's go to the Amplified in Psalms 103. Let's read together if you get there. And I'm going to close after this here. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord. Can we stop right there just for a second? What did he say here? We're skipping the praising part, but that's cool. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. You know what? What he's saying is that your flesh can't praise God. It's got to be your soul. God, look at this. Your soul got to do it. This is the brokenness of us. A lot of times, why you can't praise him? Because you're broken. You spiritually break. That's why I notice what happens when people can't praise him. Then it tells you where you are at that moment. Okay, bless and affectionately praise the Lord. Oh, my what? And all that is what? Deep within me. That's not surface talk. Bless is what? Holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. And do not forget what? All, any of his benefits. Who forgives what? All of my sins. Who heals all my diseases and redeems my life from the pit. Who crowns me lavishly, look, lavishly, with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy my years with good things. Come on, God Almighty. He already did it. Whatever is on your life, it's already been ordained. There's nothing new, it's already done. Everything that was done was already done from the beginning. We just had to see it in real time so we can believe. Because if somebody told you he went, none of us can ever witness it physically, but the Holy Spirit in you would witness it for you and said, see, there's something on the inside of you tells you he did it. Let us stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. He went to the cross. He gave up his lavish living lifestyle. He gave up his wealth that through him, I don't have to be impoverished any longer, but I could be made rich. The difference is a lot of us is that we bankrupt in a provish way. It ain't always the now. So if I get hold of this word properly and I get understanding of who I am in him, then that should change my mindset that I don't have to live beneath my privileges. That means I haven't got hold of what he has for me yet. But the only way I got to get there by getting in that word and understanding what that word means to me. So you see how we were reading it earlier? We were focusing on the translation on other people, but we didn't accept it personally. You have to personalize. He heals all my diseases. Who crowns me with love and kindness and tender mercies. Those are the same crowd that was broken. But he healed them and then he took them up to the mountaintop so they could see better than what they were before. What they were able to do before, you imagine them taking them to the mountaintop before he healed them? That would be excruciating for somebody who's trying to roll themselves up to a pinnacle place to get the word. But God made it affordable. Don't talk about the Obamacare. He gave us the affordable act in the spirit that through his poverty, we may become rich. Bless all the poor in the spirit. He started off saying bless. He didn't focus on the negativity. He started off in the positivity. Bless all the poor in spirit. That is the mayonnaise. The slices of bread is the bless in the kingdom. I would go any further, but let's focus on the poverty. You notice on the first line of the Beatitudes, he opened it up with that verse. Bless all the poor in the spirit. If you're feeling any kind of impoverished, broken, that means you don't know who you are, or either you haven't accepted the fact of who you are, or you haven't really honestly believed that he did what he did, that you and I could become rich. So there is a such a situation. I don't want to equate people and leave people out of things. Okay, so he must don't love me because I'm still in poverty. But maybe God just want people to see temporary. Let people see. Let the crowd see you. Let the crowd see you in the valley experience. So that way, when I do raise you up to the mountaintop, they can see you. And then they're going to want to hear from you. So maybe God is allowing you to go through that for just you're doing it for him. He just need you. He need a volunteer. Nobody, didn't Jesus do it voluntarily? Didn't he give up his riches, his wealth? He voluntarily did it. Not only he just says, hey, I'm giving you riches. No, he had to die for us to do it, for us to be able to inherit it. So he gave it up. So in other words, God says, what are you willing to give up? You and I cannot come to Christ until we give up something. Surrender. Surrender. You know what's so funny though? We don't ever ask the devil. We give it to him anyway. We give him. What profit a man to gain the world and then lose his soul? We give it up for riches. When Jesus says you don't have to give up your soul for riches, you can get your soul, your riches, and your health. Well, why do we compromise? We give up stuff because we don't know who we are. And the devil's like, they don't know who they are. That's why I'm able to. That's why he was able to steal what he did from Adam and Eve so easily, because they didn't know their value. Just like we today don't really know our value. We think our value is what we drive. That's not your value. Separate you from your car. Who are you? Separate you from your home. Who are you? Because nobody sees your house. They see the person. Come on, talk to me now. If I go to the mall, they're going to only see me. They're not going to see my address and where I drive. My car's in the parking deck. And please don't equate your clothes to having richness. That's just an appearance. Oh, God Almighty. Let me tell you something about clothes. It can be a form of false advertisement. That what I see on the outside is not the real product. Jesus, Lord have mercy. I'm talking about some of our African Americans, because that's all we do. We equate riches with what we wear and drive. Real riches is in the spirit. Oh, you playing a wedding song or something, man? He thinks somebody about to get married in the spirit room. Maybe somebody is. God Almighty, man, I tell you. Maybe he prophesies something through the song or something. Somebody get married, they don't know nobody. I don't know. Maybe he prophesies through the song or something here. If somebody get married, I don't know about. Jesus, hallelujah. My man just changed the whole tune on me. I think somebody's coming to the altar. That's probably what it means. Somebody about to get married to Christ as we speak. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor got a sense of humor from time to time. Don't pay mind to the look. Somebody get married, obviously. I don't know who it is. Hallelujah. Oh, God Almighty. shout out. God Almighty. What an awesome God we serve. Man, made me forget all about what I was saying. Jesus. Jesus. Ain't too much of those things ever happened to me, but that shifted me, boy. Okay. Hallelujah. I'm giving up this property so I can be rich. Get hold of who you are through Christ Jesus. He already did what he needed to do. He's not doing any more. Whatever he's done is already in you. You and I just need to activate what's there. But we got to change the mindset in order to approach it properly. When you look in the mirror, you got to ask yourself, what do you see? Not what you go through. Don't equate what you go through now as who you are. That's not who you are. That's what I was saying. I remember saying what I was saying, that we let our attire equate that with richness and what we drive and where we live. Nobody sees that. But when they see something from your past and they've seen you come out of something, people are going to want to hear from you now. They're going to want to hear from you because they're going to be like, I want to hear what you got to say. Because something on your life, obviously you followed something. We should not be living beneath our God-given privileges, people. Not one of us. We need to get hold of that word, and we need to exchange. And don't let compromise. Don't give up something to the devil so quick. Because what you want, that's what he wants from you. He wants your soul. He want to know, would you be willing to exchange your soul for richness when you're like, I already got it through him. Why want to give up something? A man already died on my behalf so I could become rich. I don't need to gain the world. I just want to pray for some people right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want your eyes closed for a second, for a moment, and say, you know what? This is where I am. I really don't know who I am, to be honest with you. I just been invited to church and I heard the word, but I really don't know who I am because I'm still in the same status quo mentally. I'm talking about spiritually and mentally. Somebody died for you. So you can, you know what a good parent do? They'll sacrifice. The child don't even know it, but the parent, a good parent, I said a good parent, guys, listen to what I said. I said a good parent would sacrifice for their child. God gave up Jesus, his son, but he sacrificed himself. See, people don't realize they separate Jesus from God. He is God in the flesh. He sacrificed himself so you and I can have a better life. A good parent would do that. They would give up themselves so you can inherit. Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being that parent that we needed. Some of us don't know what being a good parent means. They haven't nearly example what a good parent means. What's our example as a good parent? A lot of times you guys don't even know what good parents have sacrificed for you to be where you are today. Or someone who raised you. But they gave up some things they would probably never tell you. But we know what God gave up. He gave up his most prized possession in Jesus Christ. He gave him up for us, the world. All of us. We are impoverished in so many ways. You're not living your best life. And it's not just a phrase that we hear. We're not living our best life through phrases. We're going to live our best life spiritually, understanding who we are. Anybody broken, anybody impoverished in the spirit, anybody who don't know who they are, I want you to really honestly, earnestly raise your hands. I still don't know who I am. I'm trying to get there, but are you really trying to get there? I really don't know who I am. I'm still trying to figure this out. What is my purpose here? What am I supposed to do here? You know, a lot of these things also come with you staying in that word and following the precepts and applying and applying and applying and applying and applying. Sometimes you don't get it right away. You're still applying. Going to that mountaintop, you guys think that was easy? It took work to get up there. That means they really wanted something. Don't ever come to God thinking you got it going on and you got everything you need, because that means he can't use you. You got to come to him empty. Like, I really do need help. That I am a broken vessel. I'm broken into a million pieces. And some of you, what you're doing, I'm going to be honest with you, I feel it in the spirit. Some of you sabotaging your own purpose. You're really sabotaging. You sabotage it by not living your best version that the word of the Lord has given you and he died for you for. You sabotaging your own purpose. Some of you scared to be rich because you probably don't know what to do with it. No, you keep growing in this word. He will show you. That's why you need to stay in this word. So when you become rich, you don't be walking around relying on your riches and handing out riches like it's a piece of candy. Because you won't stay rich long, I promise you. Anybody who need prayer, come on down here and in the name of the Lord. And people are broken. Really, people are broken. And that's because a lot of times they don't know who they are. But blessed are those who are impoverished in the spirit, for it's the kingdom of heaven. People pretend to act like they know who they are. They don't really know who they are. Just listen to them for about 5 minutes. Have a conversation with them. See where they're coming from. Don't look at what they're wearing. Don't look at what they're driving. Those are all false advertisements. The product is not lining up. You don't like that one, do you? That's how you know real people from church folk, from kingdom folks. The product is not lining up for what they wear and drive. It ought to line up. Maybe I have somebody on Zoom saying, Pastor, yeah, you know what? This word resonates with me. I do need prayer in this particular area. And I don't really know who I am. I'm definitely broken in the spirit. But I pretend, I put on a good act in front of people. One of the reasons why he says come as you are, because you can't come like you got it all together. That's the most prideful behavior. You got to really come like you don't have nothing. You can't get it right. You know, I can't get right. You know, that character, I can't get right. That's how we got to be. I just can't get it right. Sister Courtney laughing. I must have said something to resonate with that one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of your Yahshua, my prayers that you are working on somebody's heart and mind, that they will never equate what they drive, what they wear, and where they live to wealth, to riches. The Lord says, I want you to prosper. I want you to prosper, but I want your soul to prosper along with it and still be healthy. Those of you who like to witness and evangelize, they're not going to hear until they see some works on you, that you are making a difference. Remember I told you last week, when you're an eagle, you gotta behave like one. Thank you so much, Lord. May the Lord smile upon you. May the Lord bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.